Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Get Healthy Now. I am just waiting for my guest to come back. It's Sarah Bazan, and we spoke last week and had such a great time that we did not quite make it through the entire show, and we thought we're going to continue today. I'm going to give you her biography a little bit about it before she comes on, and then we'll see how we can continue. So Sarah is actually the destiny designer, trains and coaches experts and entrepreneurs to become empowered leaders. Sarah has empowered thousands of people for over 30 years. She's a licensed psychotherapist with a master's in clinical psychology. She's a certified life and executive coach, NLP practitioner, and healing tarot instructor. Sarah has traveled the globe teaching and speaking in 5 continents and 14 countries. She's a mother of 2 and an avid outdoor enthusiast who enjoys rock climbing, outrigging, and sailing in beautiful Santa Barbara. Her success strategies will help you become the driver of your destiny so you can make more money, enjoy more time and freedom, and become the influencer you're meant to be. During the last episode, we found out that we have a lot more in common than expected. And I go, wow, this is really amazing. So we both have similar backgrounds, even though we're a decade different in youth and life experiences, but we're both kind of guided to help people, give them hope, make them feel better, tools to use so they can do better. So I'm not going to rehash what's been happening last week. You can listen to the show. It's posted on her and on my Facebook page for Friday. It was September 3rd, and today is September 10th. And I really hope that she's going to join us shortly so we can actually continue and give you the rest of her information, because she is an amazing woman. So, yeah, it's just amazing how we can find people. Yeah, just got a message. She's coming. She's an amazing person, and she really is an excellent listener. So I can't wait for her to join us and to continue what we've been talking about last week. So just bear with me for a couple more seconds or minutes, and we'll get the show on the road. To hear what we talked about, as I said, go back to last week. Find it on September 3rd on either Sarah Bazan's group, if you're her friend, or on mine, on my page, Denise Thompson, T-H-O-M-S-O-N. And then you can just click on the picture on the link below, and you can listen to it. So looking forward to having my guest come on. I see she's typing something right now. Did I give her a wrong number? Let me see. Let me retype the number for her. 6 5 10. Okay, that was my mistake. Wow. I transposed 2 numbers. Can you believe that? Well, that's life, right? That happens. And that's just part of life. And what do? We make the best out of it. So it should be happening like right now. Hello, Sarah. Are you on? Hello, Sarah. Are you on?
I am.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I'm sorry. I just realized I transposed a couple of numbers in there. So I'm glad you made it on. I just gave him your bio again and said if they wanted to hear what we talked about last week, to go to either your Facebook page or mine, depending on whose friend they are, and check our posts out and just click on the picture or on the link below so they can listen to it. And that we're just going to continue today with where we left off last week. Is that okay with you?
Yep.
All right. I hope, can you hear me well?
Yes.
Okay, because I have trouble hearing you. All right. So we did a couple of questions last week, and today we're going to continue with the question from your psychotherapy to NLP and NLP background. What do you see as the key to holistic health and well-being?
You know, balance is really, really important. And what I mean by that is finding a balance between your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. So again, that's holistic, right? But finding a balance and making sure that you are taking care of all three, those three parts. I mean, they're all connected, but they all affect each other. So you see, like, you could be taking care of your physical health, or, you know, pushing yourself, you know, to exercise and, you know, eating right and things like that, but you could be stressed in another area because you're thinking negatively, or you're fearful and you're worrying. And so I know that I find for myself that when I get exercise, it actually helps my mind relax. But it's really important that when you do self-care of whatever type it is, that you actually are relaxing your mind as well, right? So that concept of relaxing your mind and having mindful moments during the day and throughout the day, as well as other, you know, taking care of your body physically and also emotionally, right? Like it's that piece about finding balance and just noticing, you know, how am I feeling and what could, you know, how can I take care of the way that I'm feeling? I mean, a lot of times people stuff their emotions and they ignore their emotions, or they, you know, they just keep going on. And I think that emotional piece is also really important to tend to, right? So you're tending to your thoughts and your mindset, you're tending to your body, but also tending to your emotions, and make sure that you acknowledge and validate your emotions, express your emotions so they don't get stuffed and tend to fester and then show up when you least expect them.
So true. Actually, I just visualized the picture, and that's the farmer who goes to milk the cow. They sit on a three-legged stool to milk the cow. Now, if one leg were shorter than the other two, would the farmer still be in balance, or would he be thrown off balance? I mean, we both know the answer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's the same with the things you just mentioned. It's body, mind, soul, finances, whatever goes in your full circle, health and wellness, that everything needs to be balanced for it to work. And so when I see that picture, I go, oh, yeah, where are my legs? Am I totally balanced? And I ask that question regularly because there are so many things that can throw us off. And we talked last week a little bit on how we can find our balance back. And so, audience, if you want to hear that, you just need to go listen to last week's session. And I know we could add a few more things. Is anything new that's just popping up in your brain right now, Sarah, that we could add as a tool for them to find balance again that we did not talk about last week?
You know, I think it is about that, the self-care. And I don't know that I'm trying to remember exactly how we talked about it, but I'm not sure that we talked about it as like a form of self-care. Like I talked about how to shift your emotional states and gave some tools on how to do that. But I guess I mm-hmm. want to stress today that self-care is a holistic activity, kind of what I said, you know, earlier. And I think that one of the things about emotions is that we need to be aware, just as you would be aware aware if you started to think negatively or have a negative thought. You know, it's really, I always say awareness is key, and awareness is the, you know, really the essence of self-care. It's slowing down and paying attention to when you need to care for, you know, a part of yourself, right? Whether it's your mind, your body, your spirit. And a lot of the good news is that if you care for one of them, it actually helps the other ones too. It's like that, the stool that you're talking about, or in cognitive behavioral therapy, they talk about the cognitive triangle, which your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors are on each side of that triangle. And so if you're caring to your emotions and allowing yourself to express your emotions and release them, you're likely to have more positive thoughts, right? Or vice versa, if you choose to say, okay, I need to shift my emotional state, so I'm now going to think about all the things I'm grateful for, and it shifts your emotional state to feel better, and then suddenly you could, you know, be doing something that's more productive and more healthy for yourself, right? So when we tend to do things that aren't healthy for ourselves, it's usually because we're not aware that either our thoughts or our emotions are driving us to do unhealthy behaviors, which could mean, you know, maybe eating something that we know we shouldn't eat, or, you know, sitting on the computer, scrolling on social media for longer than is healthy for us, you know, things like that, right? So it's that awareness and making sure that we check and understand that we can, by caring for one, you can care for the other two sides of that triangle, or the other two feet on the stool, as you were talking about.
That's cool. Yeah, it's true. I mean, we definitely have a choice, and it depends on us what we choose, how we're going to feel. And so many people say, I remember my dad. That is, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just popped in my head. He was really sick with cancer. And I flew home to go see him while he was still alive. And I tried to talk to him, and I wanted to make sure that we were good, no matter what happens to him, because I knew I was going to come back to the U.S. and he was staying where he was. And I wanted to talk to him and just make sure that we both were on the same page, and that I would have been given permission to go when his time was right, and when he just, you know, he didn't have to fight anymore. And he got so angry with me. You with your stupid positive remarks and stuff, that doesn't happen. You can't do this, you can't do that. And I knew that was not him talking, that was the cancer talking. Still, with me learning these tools and not being able to help my own dad, that was really rough. It took me a while to get over it and say, you know, I'm sorry, I forgive you that you didn't understand that. I just tried to help you. But in the meantime, he did get relief, and he is resting in peace, and nobody is worried about him hurting anymore, because he's gone, and it's all good. But the way I acted and reacted towards his negativity, that taught me I need to be more in control of my own emotions and keep balanced, and not take things personally that are not really meant to be taken personally. And that's the hard part to differentiate. Wow. Cool. So,
Yes. Wow.
So if you could give one tip to improve your well-being in a holistic health and well-being way, what would it be?
What comes to mind is ritual. I was thinking that, like, one thing that you can do for yourself every day is to have rituals in the sense of something that you do that's good for your body, mind, and spirit, right? It's a holistic experience. Like, honestly, it can be simple. Like the first thing you do when you wake up, give thanks, right? Do gratitude. That feeds your body, mind, and spirit, because you're feeling better, right, about the day, and it shifts your emotional state and can put you in a better emotional state to then do something healthy for yourself, right, first thing you do in the morning. Like, I have my morning ritual of giving thanks, drinking water with lemon, and then doing some yoga. And, you know, it's something that I've done for many, many years. And all three of those things, right? One is tending to the body. Well, actually, they all are very holistic, right? Because water, if you think of it, water is life. And, you know, so by drinking water with intention of health and well-being, you can put your intention into that water as you drink it and give thanks, right, for the water and for your life and for the things, you know, whatever you want to give thanks and acknowledge that morning. And then, you know, doing yoga as well is kind of, it's a holistic activity where I'm taking care of my body, but I'm also starting the day off, moving my energy, you know, and also like unifying my body, mind, and spirit. Because at least for me, when I do yoga, it's not an exercise per se, right? It's a ritual of sorts where I am feeling totally connected and in one with my body and honoring my body. That this beautiful vessel, you know, that I have, that I have this opportunity to live in. And so I would say that, you know, whatever that is for you, I mean, I just shared something that I do, but I've heard other folks, what they do every morning is they meditate, right? There's different forms of meditation, but, or some people journal first thing in the morning and they start their day off journaling. And again, even journaling, it's kind of a body, mind, and spirit activity in that you're allowing your consciousness to flow through, and it starts the day off doing something, right, which is your body, where you're choosing to do something that nourishes your mind and nourishes your heart. And oftentimes a lot of creative things happen. I mean, I know writers and creative folks, that's what they do every morning. Like, they'll wake up and meditate and then write. So whatever works for you, but I do encourage you to have it be a ritual or a tradition in that you do it every day. And it's something that becomes part of your routine. I mean, that's another way you could call it. If you don't like the ritual world, it would be a routine. But I would say that would be the one thing that if you incorporate some kind of holistic routine that nourishes your body, mind, and spirit every day at a certain time. It could be before you go to bed. It could be when you wake up. It could be both. But I would say that would be the one thing I highly recommend.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I have my own thing when I wake up. I say my prayer, be grateful for things. Then I read a chapter in the Ogmandino, the 10 ancient scrolls, because there's so much wisdom in there and it's helping you transform habits. And then from 7 to 7:15 every morning, I go on a WIN call, that's W-I-N, for Wellness Degraded Now, where we do go over one of the 26 elements that are microhabits to keep us healthy and a little bit of meditation. I mean, you know, closing our eyes and breathing, because breathing is so important. And I just wow. It has helped me to have so many better days just by having the mindset in the right place before I even start the day with work. And I just go, and of course, the water, that's another good one. I always drink my water just before I get out of bed. And I go, this is so wonderful. And we're speaking the same language again, of course. It's just amazing. Coming from two different areas and finding so much similarity that actually allows us to support one another wholeheartedly and understand where we're coming from and where we want to go to. So I really appreciate you so much.
Oh,
all
right.
You. Oh, you're welcome. So how did you go from psychotherapist to women entrepreneurs business coach? That really interests me.
I love this story. I don't know, but I'm happy to tell it. So I live in Santa Barbara, which is close to L.A., and there's a radio station, which is a public radio station that is powered by the people, KPFK. And so because it's powered by the people, you donate. And so I donated and I got a weekend training, NLP training, neuro-linguistic programming. That's how I got into NLP. I I had heard of it, but I had never really actually, like, learned what it was or anything about it. So I was, like, mm-hmm. listening to the radio, and it's like, oh, this is what, you know, if you donate this much, you know, as your gift, you'll get this weekend of NLP training. I was like, that sounds great. I always like to learn new things that can help my clients, right? I'm working with clients as a psychotherapist, and you know, so I'm like, wow, this would be really good. I always like to learn things that help people change fast. I'm not the type of therapist that likes to have you spend years, you know, some modalities have you stay for a long time. I like to have people change quickly. So I went to learn, and I have utilized it with my clients, actually. I still have a private practice as well as a coaching practice. But as I was there, I went for the weekend, and then I signed up for the certification training because I was like, this stuff is really good, you know, and I want to be able to be really good at this, help my clients. And so the certification process was a little bit longer. I forget how long it was, but I think it was, you know, an intensive week and something like that. So I spent a lot of time with these folks that were going through the certification process. And I was awakened to the whole coaching world because most of the people who were going through the training were going to become a certified life and business coach. And I was looking around going, I could do that. I mean, after, you know, at that point, I probably had, you know, 10 or 12 years of, you know, being a licensed therapist at that time. And I was like, you know, I'm looking around going, I'm way qualified to be a coach. And especially now I've got my certification, you know what I mean? And so this was the twist of and kind of the turn, because I decided, okay, I'm going to launch a business. I'm going to learn about business. And even though I had a psychotherapy practice, I never marketed it. It was just something that word of mouth. I worked with insurance companies. I also worked for a nonprofit as a therapist. So I never marketed it. Even though it was a business, I didn't market it as a business. So I took some entrepreneurial programs, which there's hundreds of them out there. I'm sure you all are being exposed to them if you're anywhere in the entrepreneurial world. So I signed up for one of these programs, which was a year-long program. And I signed up for other things too, because I was just like, let me learn all about it because I want to be a coach now and I want to help people in this way. It's a different model and I know I'd be good at it. And what was interesting, I didn't know who was my niche yet. I didn't know who I was going to serve because I knew I could serve pretty much anyone, because in my psychotherapy practice, I work with folks from 3 years old, 2 years old to 80 something years old. Like I worked with all different ages, all different genders, couples, families, I mean, you name it, right? All kinds of things, trauma, depression, anxiety. I mean, I didn't really have a specialty. And so So here I was in these circles, and I started talking with people, and I just naturally, the folks that were in my entrepreneurial circles became my clients. Because what happened was I realized very quickly that entrepreneurs really need to consistently be managing their emotions and overcoming fears. In fact, the first class I ever offered, first course as a coach, was for women to overcome their fears. Because there are lots of fears like public speaking. And as we talked about last week, my course about overcoming fear of being on camera. I mean, there's a lot of fears that come up because as an entrepreneur, you need to be out of your comfort zone all the time. And I may have talked about this. I don't want to be redundant, but this is part of the story of why I became a coach for entrepreneurs. It just happened completely naturally. It was such a joy for me because what I love about working with entrepreneurs is that they have that spirit, right? That kind of maverick spirit where they're thinking out of the box and they have a vision and they want to change the world and they want to make a difference. And I just so related to that. And it's just such an honor to be able to support people in designing their dreams, driving their dreams and directing their dreams, right? So that they actually can make it happen. And so that's my story about how I ended up working with entrepreneurs. And it has morphed into like way beyond just the emotional, because over the years, you know, I also have learned that I'm actually really good at helping people find their messaging and translate that vision they have into the world into a message. Because as you know, you have to have your brand, your tagline, right? You have to know how to speak about what you do very clearly and succinctly so people will know right away. So so that's, you know, and then even helping people with their packages and their funnels, and it's just, you know, the language on their landing pages. I mean, I kind of have become a jack of all trades because I've always loved writing. It's a passion of mine, and I'm good at it. And so helping people with that has just been a natural flow. Everything just flowed naturally for me.
Wow, that is amazing. I wish I could say the same for me. But you just hit on something like with the messaging. Dean Graziosi, who works with Tony Robbins a lot together, they're best friends, he said, take your mess and make it into a message. And I go, okay, what do you mean? And he goes, anything that you were challenged with, that you felt was difficult, and you found a way to make it, to serve people more, that is the message where you can help them. And you teach them how you have learned to overcome those struggles or whatever it is. So take your mess and make it into a message. And I go, wow, that's pretty big. And you just stress that actually by helping people finding their niche and going into it. So maybe if I would have found you before I found them, who knows? Wow, that is amazing. Wow, can't get over it. I mean, all the similarities with experiences and things that we've learned through our, you know, decades of life and things we've been doing and what we want to do still. Life is still in the midst of making itself. We're far from being done, aren't we?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things I just love about life is that you're constantly learning. And it's actually one of the things I love about working with entrepreneurs and being an entrepreneur myself is that no matter where you arrive, there's always a next step. And I mean, I've worked with folks that have, you know, six-figure businesses and teams, and they still, you know, they want to grow. We all want to grow and learn and get better and make things smoother and, you know, or improve. Yeah, we can always improve and we can always learn and we can always grow. I mean, to me, that's just the joy of life.
I totally agree. Wow. So there is definitely inspiration in our lives because we see that we can always become a better version of ourselves. And so knowing that we are inspired, what inspired you to start on the healing journey?
Wow. That is a beautiful story and a bit sad because of, you know, where the wounds were. But I will tell you a bit about, I have to say, so my mother was an alcoholic, and I was the youngest of seven. So I didn't have a lot of oversight. Like, my mother was a wonderful, wonderful person, you know, and she wasn't, you know, purposefully abusive. I had a home. I had, you know, food and clothes, and it wasn't like, you know, there was any problems with that, but there was an emotional disconnect. And because I was the youngest, too, I was just kind of left to my own devices. And when kids get left to their own devices, you can go down the wrong path. And also, I think because there was self-esteem issues because, you know, my siblings, you know, as kids will do, if they're not being supervised as much as they could, they can be really mean and they can tease. And, you know, so I had self-esteem issues and I really didn't feel confident at all when I was a kid. And it, you know, the healing journey happened, actually, it started at the age of 14. So I have to backtrack. So my older siblings influenced me, and there was alcohol around the house. And so I started drinking at, like, the age of 12, believe it or not. It sounds crazy. Like, nowadays, you know, I have my own kids, and, like, I couldn't imagine that happening. But it did happen to me, believe me or not. And by the age of 14, I remember the day I woke up in the morning with a gash on my leg. and I didn't know what had happened. I didn't remember anything. And that was the day that it scared the heck out of me. I was 14, and I said, I'm not going to drink anymore. And I stopped. And I think it was really fear, but I didn't get any help. I just got really scared as a kid, 14 years old, going, oh, my gosh, because I didn't even know that that was a thing, right, that they're blackouts. And I didn't even know at the time that, like, if you're having blackouts, then you're probably an alcoholic, right, or you're on the way to being an alcoholic. Of course, I wasn't thinking that. I was just a scared kid. And luckily, I had older siblings. Some gave me bad influences, but some gave me good influences because I had a sister who was a health nut. And she had yoga books around the house, and she had a guitar. She played guitar, and she sang. And that was how I started my healing journey, actually. I knew I needed to do something different, and I just started, like, the things that were kind of around my house, I just started to explore. Now, the other thing is that my father and mother, they had a ceramic studio in the basement. So I had these things all at my disposal. And so when I stopped drinking, I had no friends because all of my friends, that's what they were doing in my neighborhood. This is the south side of Chicago. There really wasn't that much to do in the south side of Chicago at that time. And I'm sure nowadays, you know, there's more consciousness about, you know, have activities for kids and have camps. And but it wasn't like that for me. We were just kind of our own devices running around the neighborhood in alley rats, like being in alleys and, you know, getting into trouble. And so I suddenly found myself with no friends. And so I turned to art. I turned to yoga. My parents, lovely, lovely people. My father's still alive. My mother passed last year. But, you know, they had a house full of books also. And so I started this journey of learning self-discovery. I started actually reading the books because by that time I was 14, I could start to really understand. They had psychological books. They had spiritual books, Alan Watts, and, you know, just I just started reading, and I started doing art and yoga, and that's how I started my healing journey.
Wow, that is impressive. You know, at 14, to come to that realization that something is not okay and it can be transformed into something beautiful, that is big. For me it was different because I was actually pretty much the oldest of five. And everybody always said, you know, you're the oldest, you should lead by example, and you should, and you should, and you should. And I've been shitted on my whole life. And that was very different. And now I just go, I still catch myself nowadays that sometimes I want to take on more than I need to take on. I do not have to be a hero, be it a friend, be it a wife, be it a coach, be it an aunt, a cousin. I don't have to be a hero in anything. I just need to be me. And that's sometimes difficult because of the way I was raised. You're the oldest one. You take care of everybody. And then when I knew that my mom was my bonus mom because my biological mom died when I was 10 months old, I felt I had to take that responsibility very seriously. Otherwise, they would kick me out of the house. And I don't know where that came from. They never said anything. I have no clue where that came from. But I had that fear. If I'm not the perfect angel and do exactly as I'm told to do and expected to do, that I'm going to be homeless. And I go, wow. Mm. So I would never want to do that to anybody else. And so I see you resorted to a really great way. Music, reading, those are my comforters right now. Whenever there's anything that's bugging me, I sit at the piano, I play and sing, and I love to read, you know, something positive to lift my spirits, and then I'm fine. So just sharing that with the audience, I think, can be a very powerful tool for them to use.
Absolutely.
And having said that, knowing that everything was based, that I had to be the example and everything else, that actually fear and stress and anxiety. And so What is the best way to address fear and anxiety to reduce stress, in your opinion, in your experience?
Yeah, I always say it has to start with the body, because the lower brain, when you're feeling stress and anxiety, your lower brain, your survival brain, you know, the limbic system is turned mm-hmm. on. The analytical brain is turned off. And we usually can't think straight when we're in a fear state. And so there's a process that I've developed, and it starts with getting embodied. So there's many ways you can feel that, like feel your feet on the ground. You know, feel what it's like, the chair underneath you if you're sitting, right? Feel, you know, whatever, if you're outside, just like get in your senses, right? What are you feeling? Are you warm? Are you hot? Is there any tension? Do a body scan, like just, you know, pay it, you know, bring your mind's attention to your feet, you know, tighten them and loosen them, right? And then move up your legs and your belly and your shoulders. And if there's any tension in any part of that, release, like breathe into it and then release it. And it's just a way of getting yourself out of this kind of fear. You know, usually when we're in a fear state, we start to think things that aren't healthy, right? We start to worry, or we start to have negative thoughts, right? About, oh my gosh, what about this? And what about that? And oh my gosh, what did I do? And, you know, what can I do? Right? Like your mind starts to spin when you're in those states. So it's really good to calm the mind. So you get embodied and you calm your mind in the process. You can also use the breath to get embodied, right? Feel your breath going in your lungs. And you can count. I don't recommend like counting to 8 and exhale 4. I just recommend just counting, as long as, you know, breathe in and count, hold for a couple seconds, breathe out and count, hold for a couple seconds, breathe in and count. And what that does is when you hold between the inhale and the exhale is it slows your heart rate down. And so when your heart rate starts to slow down, you can start to think more clearly. And the other thing is that when you count, that turns on your neocortex, that turns on the upper brain. And so it's harder to stay in a fear state if you're physiologically slowing down your heart, you're feeling yourself connected to the earth, you're slowing down the metabolism, you turn on your neocortex, you start to count, and suddenly, you know, you're able to kind of see the, you know, the clarity through the mist of the anxieties, the mist starts to leave and you start to see clearly. And then the next step really is asking yourself the question. So, you know, what do I have control of right now? Because oftentimes what gives us anxiety is when we feel like we have no control, and that can oftentimes feel, you know, stressful and anxiety producing. And so what I always recommend to people is to think about, what do I have control over right now? And I have control over my breath, right? I have control over my body. I can choose to do something healthy for myself, or I can choose not, right? What do I need right now? Check in, you know, what are the thoughts? What are some more positive, helpful thoughts that I can be thinking instead of worrying about what might happen in the future, right? Because ultimately, we only have the present moment. And to look around the room once you've calmed yourself down and to ask yourself, you know, what do I have control over? Is there anything actually threatening me right now? You know, how can I create a more positive emotional state for myself right now? Because often those anxiety states are not good for the health, right? I mean, a little bit is fine, you know, if you get anxious about something and then you take care of it, right? Because things happen. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, a little bit of stress is fine, but we don't want to get stuck there. And so mm-hmm. So this is what I really recommend, kind of going through those steps.
Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, it just totally supports everything I believe in. And with the breathing, I definitely do the counting on the breathing. I have tried different methods for different reasons. though for me it seems at this point that breathing into the count of four through my nose, then holding my breath to the count of seven to accumulate the toxins, to slow down the pulse, the heart rate, everything else, to feel, you know, connected a little bit more, and then exhale to the count of eight. That seems to be the most powerful one for me at this time. I tried even, you know, four in, four hold, four out, and I get out of sync. I don't know why. And I just go, this is interesting because there's so many different ways of doing it. And I agree with yours. For most people, I think what you said is the best way to do it, because many people don't really know what a deep breath is. They suck the air up their lungs, their chest raises up instead of banding the diaphragm. And that's where the breathing actually comes in very helpfully, when we use the real deep breathing with the diaphragm, with the belly. And I know it took me a long time to get back there, because as children, we all do it. And then as adults, I was told, don't stick out your belly, suck it in. And so I learned to breathe the incorrect way till I started singing and playing the trumpet and stuff. And they said, stop breathing like a sissy. Breathe with your belly. You have more control over the way you extend your breath. And I go, oh, great. So what is it going to be? So now I actually barely ever breathe, just sucking in the air up my lungs and raise my chest. Almost everything is belly breathing, because that's what I've been doing for the last 30, 40 years. Yeah, at least, if not longer, more like 50. And I just go, it helps me. It keeps me more on track. And I think we should actually teach people how to breathe correctly. I mean, you do certain musical things too, and I'm sure that you do the belly breathing and not the chest breathing, correct?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I started learning pranayama, which is the yogic breath, which is very much about using the diaphragm and filling your lungs and using all of the air. And I do recommend, you know, if you wanted to go deeper into using the breath, there's some wonderful yoga exercises. It's called pranayama, but it's different breathing for different things. Like if you want to fire up your energy, there's the, you know, lion breath. And if you wanted to relax, there's different types of breathing. But I really liked what you said about, you know, you shared what works for you. And I do want to tell the audience, you know, you need to find what works for you. And if having, like, you experimented, Denise, right? Like you tried one and that didn't work quite right. So you tried another and you found that sweet spot. So I want to encourage the audience to find your sweet spot. And the reason why I encourage, like, don't actually count for eight, or, you know, have it limited to a certain number, that's just my stuff, because I found that I would get stressed out trying to figure out, how do I breathe just to eight? How do I slow down my counting? Because I am a singer, and because I did yogic breath, like I take long breaths, right? And so trying to, like, it would just cause me stress. So that's why for me, it's more relaxing to just, you know, count as far as I need to count and not try to fit it into eight or four or whatever. But it works for you. And so I encourage the audience to find what works for them. And you know, mine kind of is an easy entrance into it, especially like you said. You mean, I'm just confirming what you said about the idea that, you know, just hold for a couple seconds on each. It just is, it's an easy way to enter into it if you're just starting out.
And actually, now you just shed light on something that I experienced. I told you I'm on that Wind Call, Wellness Integrated Now, every morning. And when they do the deep breathing, the people who lead the call, they're talking about the rising, but they're not talking about any seconds or any specific counts. They just breathe in, just hold for a little bit, and then breathe out. But their rhythm is so inconsistent for me. I'm going to stress that it throws me off. So there, I just do what they say, and then when they're done, I go into my deep breathing where I can focus on it and I can envision things happening for the positive. I go, well, I mean, I'm just glad to learn all these different things. And maybe one of these days we can talk about the different types of yoga breathing that you were referring to. What do you think?
Oh, no, absolutely. I'd be happy to share. I mean, I'm not an expert on it, but I think that, but I do love the fact that you can have different styles of breathing for different effects, you know?
Exactly, because, I mean, it's not a one-shoe-fits-all. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people I noticed in the U.S. are tired a lot. People are tired. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed. You know, people are always tired. Oh, I'm tired. And it's like you can energize yourself so fast using the breath. And again, it's not a relaxation breath. So definitely we should come back and do some talking about more about the breath because it is so powerful.
Ooh. Yeah. So I have one more question for you for today. What do you love the most about helping women entrepreneurs find the success and joy they desire?
What do I love the most about it? Honestly, it's just so rewarding. You know, it's so rewarding to see people building their dreams and having the support. Because, you know, I guess maybe that's it. What I really love the most, probably even more than watching them create their dreams, is feeling that sense of connection with them and the gratitude that they feel of being heard, being seen, and somebody believing in them. It just warms my heart. And it, you know, it's probably why I went into being a psychotherapist also, because it's a similar thing. Like, I get so much joy out of the connection with people, and I think way too often in this society people are not heard and they're not seen, and we all need to be seen and heard, and we all do have a desire to make a difference in the world, even if it's a small difference, and to be able to be there for someone and validate their dream. Honestly, I think that's what I love the most.
Wow, I love this. Wow, that's cool. So, wow, we've covered quite a few things, and I am just so thrilled that you gave me the time of day to do that and to answer those mm-hmm. questions and help the audience to understand a little bit more about how we can transform ourselves, our way of thinking, to create balance and to move on and to maybe reduce stress and overcome certain fear factors, because it's not always bad. Sometimes we just need it to get pushed a little bit so we can actually do better than we think we can. So the last thing is, last week you had a URL for a free video masterclass. Is that still a good gift for today, or did you want to change something?
Oh, yes. I mean, the masterclass is over. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly would be happy to share my Go From Anxious to Confident in 5 minutes or less. And you can actually get that on my website. So if you go to sarahbasson.com and you scroll down a little bit, I have a couple. I have actually two free gifts on my website that you're more than welcome to go and pick. I made it kind of pretty. One of my friend's daughters actually printed that process that I wrote out and has it on her wall. That I always tell that story because it warms my heart to know that, you know, this 12-year-old girl isn't, you know, inspired to take control and not let anxiety overwhelm her. So yes, you can go to my website and get that. There's also a template for a video template, like a script, a template that you can use if you are an entrepreneur or you want to be making videos to promote yourself. There's also a template on there that is very useful to help folks really get clarity on what they need to say in their videos.
Wonderful. Wow. That's been more than helpful. So I will put that below after we post it and just kind of add that to it, that they can go there for that. And for me, as you guys know, I'm always about getting healthy in body, mind, and finances. If you want to find out a little bit more, if you're balanced in those three areas, I'm willing to offer a free health reset strategy session. I also offer a free health newsletter that I send via email. So if you choose to take advantage of one or the other, send me info to coachdenise@ctdigest.net, and it's in the transcript that you're going to find below the posting. And make sure the first three letters are capitalized BTR for Blog Talk Radio, and then what you want, so I can fish it out of the spam folder, as all first emails go into the spam folder. So I really hope that we were able to provide you with value in these two wonderful episodes that we had last week and today, that you listen to both of them, that you take us up on our offers and enjoy them and learn from them. And if you need to know more, you have then Sarah's information, so you can talk to her directly. Or if you need more from me, let me know. You have my information. We're just really here to serve the audience and to make sure that we can give you value, things that we appreciate that have helped us, and we want to share them with you. Having said that, we wish you all a most wonderful day, great weekend, and until next time, stay happy, healthy, and empowered.
Thank you. Bye.